Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Singapore Story is Lee Kuan Yew's memoir of the formative years that shaped both his political outlook and the modern Singaporean state. This student edition presents an accessible version of a major historical and political memoir centered on Singapore's path from colonial rule, wartime occupation, and post-war unrest to self-government and eventual independence. It is both personal and national in scope. Lee recounts his early life, education, legal training, entry into politics, and the difficult negotiations that led to Singapore's break with Malaysia in 1965. At the same time, the book explains the governing ideas that guided his leadership, including meritocracy, social discipline, anti-corruption, multiracial stability, and long-term planning. The memoir is not merely a record of events. It is also Lee's argument about what kind of state Singapore needed to survive and develop under severe geopolitical and social pressure. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, from wartime disruption to political consciousness, a central part of the memoir is Lee Kuan Yew's account of how historical crisis shaped his thinking. He describes childhood in colonial Singapore, the shock of the Japanese occupation, and the collapse of the assumption that British rule guaranteed order and protection. These experiences are important because they explain why he later rejected sentimental politics and focused instead on competence, survival, and institutional strength. The war years also sharpened his sense that ordinary people judge governments by whether they can maintain security, food supply, and basic functioning under pressure. Rather than treating these episodes as background detail, the memoir uses them to show how a future national leader was formed by instability. The result is a political temperament that values practical response over ideology and preparedness over complacency. Secondly, the legal and intellectual formation of a pragmatic leader. Lee's education in Britain and his early legal career are presented as formative stages in the development of his leadership style. He shows how studying law, observing British institutions, and working in the legal system gave him an appreciation for procedure, evidence, and disciplined argument, but also a growing frustration with systems that appeared detached from local realities. This section of the memoir is significant because it helps explain why his politics became so pragmatic. He did not emerge as a romantic revolutionary. Instead, he learned to think in terms of leverage, institutions, and consequences. The book also suggests that his exposure to British society and political thought made him both admiring and critical. He absorbed the importance of rules and organization, while becoming increasingly convinced that Singapore needed an approach adapted to its own social and economic conditions. Thirdly, building a nation through meritocracy and state capacity. One of the memoir's most distinctive themes is the idea that nation building requires a strong framework in which citizens can learn, work, and be rewarded according to performance. Lee repeatedly emphasizes meritocracy, anti-corruption, efficiency, and long-term planning as the foundations of Singapore's development. In the book, these are not abstract slogans, but governing principles tied to concrete policy choices, clean administration, educational opportunity, housing policy, and economic discipline. The memoir argues that because Singapore lacked natural resources and had a vulnerable position in the region, the state had to compensate by maximizing human capital and administrative effectiveness. This makes the book especially valuable as a study of how a government can use institutions to shape social behavior. At the same time, the text reveals Lee's belief that public order and economic progress often require unpopular decisions, which is part of what makes his approach both influential and controversial. Fourthly, managing ethnicity, language, and social stability in a multiracial city-state. Another major topic is Singapore's effort to create cohesion among Chinese, Malay, Indian, and other communities. The memoir shows that racial and communal tensions were not theoretical concerns, but immediate political realities, especially in the years surrounding separation from Malaysia. Lee presents policies such as racial integration in public housing, official language planning, and restrictions on inflammatory politics as necessary tools for preventing conflict. The importance of this section lies in its explanation of how social engineering became part of statecraft. Lee believed that a diverse society could not be left to chance if stability was the goal. It needed rules that limited sectarian competition and encouraged a shared civic identity. The memoir, therefore, offers a clear example of how governance in a fragile, multi-ethnic state can rely on interventions that would seem excessive in more established democracies. It also raises the deeper question of how much social freedom must be traded for public order. Lastly, separation from Malaysia and the burden of governing against the odds. The political climax of the memoir is Singapore's separation from Malaysia in 1965 and the immediate challenge of surviving as an independent state. Lee presents this not as a triumphant nationalist moment, but as a crisis that forced Singapore to define itself under severe constraints. The book explains the strategic, economic, and diplomatic difficulties involved in leaving the Federation, including insecurity over trade, defense, and regional hostility. This is where the memoir becomes especially revealing about Li's governing philosophy leadership, meant not only winning power, but also making hard decisions with no guarantee of success. The separation episode highlights his conviction that small states must be unusually disciplined, externally alert, and internally cohesive if they are to endure. It also gives the memoir its broader historical importance, because Singapore's later rise is framed as the outcome of deliberate political design rather than natural advantage or luck. In conclusion, the Singapore story will be most useful for readers interested in political memoirs, post-colonial state building, Asian history, and the practical problems of governing a small, diverse, vulnerable country. It is especially relevant for students of leadership and public policy, because it shows how one of the 20th century's most consequential leaders interpreted crisis, institution building, and national survival. Readers looking for a simple celebration of Singapore will find something more complex. The book is both a justification of Lee Kuan Yew's methods and a firsthand record of the pressures that shaped them, that makes it stand out from many political memoirs, which often either flatter the author or remain too abstract. Here, the value lies in the combination of historical detail, institutional reflection, and direct engagement with difficult trade-offs. Even readers who disagree with Lee's conclusions can learn from the clarity of his reasoning and the seriousness with which he treated governance. As a result, the book offers not only a history of Singapore's origins, but also a durable case study in how states are built under constraint. If you would like to support Lee Kuan Yew, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.